Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight
we have an hour show.
We have an hour long program, and I just wanted to mention that, well, that's what I wanted to mention. So we got plenty of stuff to get into tonight. Some of the stuff that are really, really fascinating articles that I wanted to bring up. Clinton says the Afghan war is about drugs and money. Amazing. He admitted that.
Finally?
Yeah,
it's not about bringing democracy.
Yeah.
It's about money for American corporations and drugs.
Yeah, and the American cities are all near bankrupt. And I've got a video on it that I thought was just stunning.
The audio part?
Audio part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I thought really just stunning. And but this one here I wanted to mention. This is Obama launches total takeover of the media system. Even
the Washington Post describes it like something out of Orwell's 1984. The FCC has approved a presidential alert system. Obama may soon appear on your television or call your cell phone to warn you about the next specious Al-Qaeda underwear bombing event. Commission has voted last week to require television and radio stations, cable systems, and satellite TV providers to participate in a test would have them receive and transmit a live code that includes an alert message issued by the president. No date has been set for the test, according to the Post. Well, let's read a little more about that.
Once again, the government has imposed an unreasonable and absurd mandate on the people, on the business, and the American people. The Federal Communications Commission today took action to pave the way for the first ever presidential alert to be aired across the United States on the nation's emergency alert system. And the FCC announced on February 3rd in a press release, the national test will help determine the reliability of the EAS system and its effectiveness in notifying the public of emergencies and potential dangers nationwide and regionally.
As next generation emergency alert systems become operational over the next few years, they will complement other public alert and warning systems now being developed, including FEMA's Integrated Public Alert and Warning System, IPAWS, and the Commercial Mobile Alert System that will enable consumers to receive alerts through a variety of multimedia platforms on their smartphones, BlackBerries, and other mobile broadband devices. If implemented, the president will be able to commandeer your smartphone anytime he wants and for any reason the government deems necessary.
In November, the communications company Alcatel-Lucent announced that it's creating a broadcast message center that will allow government agencies to send cell phone users specific information in the event of local, state, and national emergency, including those now ubiquitous government warnings about fantastic terror plots that invariably fizzle out or are run by FBI informants and agent provocateurs. It seems not a week or two passes that some gullible Muslim is duped in by the agency into a fanatic or a fantastic terror plot, for instance, blowing up Christmas trees.
The Broadcast Message Center is designed to force mobile phone manufacturers to adopt the FCC Commission's Commercial Mobile Alert System. Under the new system, all phones would receive emergency alerts directly from government bureaucrats. Former DAH boss Tom Ridge has admitted that the government exploits terror alerts for political gain. Ridge said he was pushed to raise the security alert on the eve of President Bush's re-election, something he saw as politically motivated and worth resigning over. A specific Al-Qaeda terror alert hyped up prior to the election was downgraded by the DHS after Bush beat fellow bondsman Kerry in the election.
Obama's warning about a supposed Al-Qaeda attack on targets in Europe was exaggerated for political purposes. Pakistani diplomat Shamsul Hassan said in October, "I will not deny the fact that there may be internal political dynamics, including the forthcoming midterm election, American elections, this he said in October. If the Americans have definite information about terrorists and Al-Qaeda people, we should be provided with that, and we could go after them ourselves, Hassan said. No terror event occurred. It was nothing specific, nothing very new, the Swedish Justice Minister British Beatrice asked after the official warning. We agree that there is no indication of concrete targets, concrete dates, and concrete terror groups, added German Interior Minister Tom de Mazar.
In addition to your cell phones, the government wants to take control of your internet broadband in the event of another phony or terror attack threatens the homeland. Lisa Fowles, Deputy Chief of the Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau of the FCC, told Federal News Radio on Monday that the FCC is looking at how wireless broadband could also enhance the EAS as part of a recommendation that was in the FCC's National Broadband Plan from last year. This idea is to hijack broadband and the Internet for emergency alerting propaganda with the Commercial Mobile Alert System, the CMAS, being developed by FEMA and the wireless industry, according to folks. The system would break into your computer or wireless device and broadcast presidential propaganda announcements, FEMA reports, so-called imminent threat alerts and amber alerts. I don't like this.
It's like 1984.
Yeah.
That, you know, everybody had to go daily to get the updates on the terror.
Get brainwashed.
Yeah, and the majority, you know, how they did that. And to get their daily brainwashing of terror.
This article goes on. It's quite long, so I think we've probably given people...
Well,
that's quite a lot on that one.
No, it's just this much. Yeah. That's it.
I know.
Mm-hmm. The government has devised other creative ways to disseminate propaganda. For instance, California introduced a bill last year to commission a study on emerging electronic license plate technology and examine ways that it could introduce new ad revenue streams in addition to ads. Technology would flash amber alerts and other information on your license plates.
Earlier this month, DHS unveiled a new terror alert system that will hijack social networking sites as one way of informing people of terrorist threat updates. The new two-tier system will provide alerts that are more specific to the threat and even recommend certain actions or suggest that people look for suspicious behavior, she said. They also might be limited to a particular audience, such as a law enforcement, rather than to broadcast to the general public, and will also have specific end date. We'll also have a specific end date, reported Information Week Government. In December, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano announced the expansion of the department's national If You See Something, Say Something campaign to hundreds of Walmart stores across the country, spying. Launching a new partnership between DHS and Walmart, what a wonderful store, to help the American public play an active role in informing on each other. Thousands of Walmart stores will have telescreens pumping out government propaganda. This is horrible.
And FEMA is also working on a new system that would send emergency alerts as text messages to wireless phone users. The system is still about 2 years away from full implementation. So I've developed
anxiety and terror in the public.
Yeah, just get rid of your cell phone. Don't shop at Walmart. And that was from Infowars.com. Let's see.
What was the video that you wanted to play?
Oh, I got that coming up, but I wanted to, there's a couple of them actually I wanted to play.
Oh, here's that. FBI got warning the day before
This is a very interesting one.
Oklahoma City bombing.
Turns out the FBI was warned the day before the Oklahoma City bombing back in 95. And it says, this is by Joseph Watson.
So they let it happen anyway?
Yep. And they were responsible for it. New documents under the Freedom of Information Act confirmed that FBI received a phone call the day before the Oklahoma City bombing warning that the attack was imminent and that the feds tried to reach a deal with bomber Terry Nichols to take the death penalty off the table if he admitted making the call. The documents were released to Salt Lake City lawyers Jesse Trentadu, who in the course of a 15-year battle in trying to ascertain why his brother was tortured to death during an FBI interrogation related to the case, has all but proven that the attack on the Alfred Murrah building was an inside job run by FBI agents who are handling Timothy McVeigh. what that indicates to me, there is a record somewhere of the phone call that the FBI needs to explain it, he said in an interview. If the call was from one of their informants with McVeigh, clearly they had knowledge of the bombing and didn't stop it. The Fed's attempt to make Nichols accept responsibility for the phone call occurred in 2005 after Nichols was visited by an attorney named Michael Selby, who claimed he was working for the government and would guarantee Nichols was spared the death penalty if he played ball in covering up FBI foreknowledge and involvement in the bombing plot.
This was the first I had ever heard of such a telephone call having been made, said Nichols in an affidavit filed recently in Utah U.S. District Court. And I told Mr. Selby that as well as the fact that I had not made the telephone call. Selby also tried to get Nichols to reveal the location of a box of explosives that the FBI failed to find during an initial search of Nichols' home in 1995. He was fearful that the FBI would come into possession of it and then no one would ever know who else was involved, said Trentadue. And his fears proved true because the FBI apparently found out about the box of explosives hidden in the basement of Nichols' home and got the box. McVeigh and Nichols' fingerprints were found on the box, along with the fingerprints of at least two other individuals whose names were redacted by the FBI. Mm-hmm. They had to be informants.
Right. Trentadue believes the government was desperate to reach the box before Nichols could make its location known to Homeland Security rather than the FBI. And the attorney says it would have shown others were involved as government informants in a bombing conspiracy. There's a little more to this. Let's see.
Oh. So was the government set up?
These documents that this was being monitored, this search of the box of explosives at the highest level within the Department of Justice, right up to and including the White House. I mean, this wasn't your local FBI office handling this. This was being run right out of the main justice in Washington, D.C.
Larry Jess Trentadue has embarked on a fearless campaign to uncover the truth behind his brother's death. And the evidence that he has gathered in the process clearly indicates that the FBI have been killing witnesses who have direct knowledge of the fact that the Oklahoma City bombing could not have gone ahead without the aid of FBI informants, that the government had prior knowledge of the attack on the Alfred B. Murrah building at least 4 months in advance. Trentadue's evidence points to the fact that federal agents killed his brother because they mistook him for Richard Lee Guthrie, a member of the Midwest bank robbery gang that included McVeigh and had been robbing banks before the attack. Guthrie was found hanging in his cell while in federal custody a day before he was due to give confessional interview about the Oklahoma City bombing.
How convenient.
Yeah.
Trentadue said he believes Guthrie was John Doe II, John Doe II rather, McVeigh's accomplice in carrying out the attack on the Alfred P. Murrah building, and an individual seen by multiple eyewitnesses yet omitted from the official story by the authorities. Current Obama administration Attorney General nominee
Eric Holder
was also involved in the cover-up of Trentadue's brother's death, sending Department of Justice emails concerning the need to keep a lid on what was dubbed the Trentadue mission. In February 2007, Trentadue obtained the astounding declaration from Nichols in which he fingered FBI agent Larry Potts as having directed McVeigh in carrying out the attack. In addition, Nichols' description of the bomb he helped McVeigh build does not match with official accounts of the device used in the attack, lending further credence to evidence that strongly suggests only bombs planted within the Alfred Murrow building, which were initially reported by TV news stations, could have caused the damage inflicted. And former FBI Terrorist Task Force Director Danny Coulson, the man who was in charge of collecting evidence from the Alfred Murrow building, has called for a new grand jury investigation into the bombing in order to identify FBI informants who were involved in the plot. Absolutely amazing, isn't it?
Yep. Horrible. This is another false flag operation that caused many deaths.
Many deaths. I've seen this at the daycare center, for crying out loud.
Yeah, they killed infants and children.
And the FBI was involved with their eyeballs in it. Right? And just so that they had a chance to go after the militias.
Yep.
Yeah. And then they went after Waco right after that. You know, they went.
Don't they call that collateral damage?
Sure, it was collateral damage, and they had to make it horrific because,
so that the American public would accept the horrific things that they were going to do later.
That's right. It was just all part of it. You know, and that was under Clinton and Janet Reno.
Janet Reno,
and
horrible
there's,
woman.
There's this dickhead, the guy who's our Attorney General today,
Eric Holder,
was involved with this as well.
What a surprise!
I mean, these cretins are all part of this, and they're all creeps. They're all,
I don't know how they get so much power. I really don't.
Well, because they know so much. I mean, they're all involved with this crap, and they just
it's all
cover
up.
Yeah, it's just amazing. You can get this at Infowars.com.
By Paul Joseph Watson.
Yeah, I really suggest you check it out. We'll go on. There. Oh, this one was amazing. This rich taking from poor is $10 billion U.S. subsidy law funds luxury hotels.
The Landmark Blackstone Hotel.
This is very good.
The Landmark Blackstone Hotel in downtown Chicago, which has hosted 12 U.S. presidents, opened in 2008 after a two-year, $116 million renovation. Inside, the Beaux-Arts structure, built in 1910, buffed marble staircase, Greek guests spending up to $699 a night for rooms with views of Lake Michigan. What's surprising isn't the opulent makeover. It's how the project was funded. The work was subsidized by a federal development program intended to help poor communities.
The biggest beneficiary of taxpayer help for the Blackstone revamp was Prudential Financial, the second largest U.S. life insurer. This company got $15.6 million in tax credits from the U.S. Department of Treasury for helping to fund the project, according to Chicago City Records. Bloomberg Markets Magazine reports in its March issue. J.P. Morgan Chase and Company, the second largest U.S. bank by assets, also took in money by serving as a lender and the monitor of Blackstone Construction financing City Records show. And since 2003, some of the world's biggest bank financial companies, including Goldman Sachs Group, U.S. Bancorp, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Prudential, have taken advantage of federal subsidy that will cost taxpayers $10.1 billion, and most of the public has never heard of it.
Investors have used the program called New Market Tax Credits to help build more than 300 upscale projects, including hotels, condominiums, office buildings, and a car museum on streets far from poverty, according to the Treasury Department records released through a federal Freedom of Information Act request.
Against intent, money spent on high-end development could have been used to build more than 1,000 job training centers, medical clinics, and schools. The program, endorsed by Republican Senator Rick Santorum,
oh, what a creep he is,
Mr. Creepo, and House Speaker Dennis Hastert, Mr. Creepo, and adopted by Congress, was signed into law by President Bill Clinton, Mr. Creepo. All right, I mean all these creeps, all these crooks. All right, just unbelievable. And building high-end commercial projects goes against the intent of the New Market Program, says Cliff Keller, a former senior policy advisor to the Treasury Department who helped design New Markets. Things like luxury hotels are entirely contrary to what we set out to do, said Keller, who is now a bank consultant. Some hotels may create jobs and spur other nearby investments, but you have to ask if these projects prevent worthwhile ones from getting done. And some of the subsidized luxury projects may not have required federal aid at all. And the Government Accountability Office found in a 2010 study.
I don't think they should be subsidizing those
things. Absolutely not. Absolutely
not. Cheap loans and everything else.
It's
severe pressure. Yeah. This underscores the need to ensure the program is operating efficiently as possible at a time when the government is under severe pressure to address the growing federal budget deficit, says Michael Borstek, GAO's tax issue director.
$10 billion could do to this for states right now.
Yeah, for the poor. The Blackstone adjoins Chicago's cultural hub, one of the most vibrant in the nation, and is miles from the city's neediest neighborhood. Prudential invested $9.3 million and made $30.4 million in loans, according to Chicago records. Under new markets rules, firms get a credit of 39 cents on a dollar paid over 7 years for cash or loans they put in. For its contribution, Prudential collected $15.6 million in credits, according to a July 2008 J.P. Morgan project oversight report filed with Chicago. Prudential spokesman Simon Locke declines to answer specific questions about the Blackstone project. Help the community? We do not comment on individual transactions or discuss our clients, Locke says. J.P. Morgan spokesman Tom Kelly also declined to discuss specifics. We think these projects help the community, Kelly says. The Blackstone says it hires more than 200 workers when it opened in 2008. He could have borrowed that money.
Yeah, and it could have. They said it, that money could have opened 1,000 job centers,
right?
And hired thousands of people. Clinton regarded new markets as a way to spur development and create jobs in communities held back by high unemployment and lagged business growth. He touted the program on a six-state tour in 1999. This is a good business opportunity here, he said, at a cabinet factory in Clarksdale, a Mississippi Delta town, with a per capita income of $12,611. If we can't fully develop the Delta down now with the strongest economy, when will we get around to it? Clarksdale was received no benefit from the tax credit program, and Treasury Department records show. President Barack Obama has endorsed new markets to help ease the effect of longest recession since the Great Depression and proposes increasing the tax credits. In December, Congress extended the program for 2 more years. How it works, the Treasury controls who gets tax credit money and how subsidies can be used.
The agency
bases
decisions on consensus tracks, which are supposed to have common economic standards. Only tracks with at least 20% poverty rate or with a population earning 20% less than the median family income of surrounding metropolitan areas qualify for subsidized projects. The numbers are far from the 2000 census. The 2010 count hasn't been used yet. The 15-block track that's home to the renovated Blackstone, consensus number 3206, qualifies because it had an individual poverty rate of 26% in 2000. A closer look at the demographics tells a different story and shows how investors can gain the system, said Janet Smith, who lives in the Blackstone Tract and teaches urban planning at the University of Illinois at Chicago.
Student population. The Tract's new market poverty qualifications don't reflect
the gentrification
that has been going on in the neighborhood and their broader South Loop region in the 1980s, Smith says. Poverty profile. This goes on for quite some time. It's a long article, but I.
The bottom line is they really didn't qualify for the money.
They didn't qualify for the dough.
But they got it anyway.
And they've been really $10 billion. You know, unbelievable.
Tax credits and all kinds of things.
$10 billion they got. This one I thought was quite. Quite funny. I wonder this short video on how the city's spending slashes blind city hall from human cost of cuts. It's really devastating to see the video itself, but it's a good audio on this.
Okay, how long is that? We'll play that.
It's I don't know, it's 3 minutes.
Okay. As a U.S. president's impending announcement. USA will slash the amount going to poverty reduction programs. But with many U.S. cities running on threadbare service levels already, it's a cut they can ill afford. All right, Lauren Lister has more.
You got some change, sir?
It's the reality America cannot escape. With the city's roughly $280 million debt, more and more people are talking about bankruptcy. News of debt like that hitting cash-strapped cities and states all over the country. Altogether, it could amount to $2 trillion, and a bill many may not be able to pay.
The problem of the state and local debt is more serious than the real estate bubble.
Serious because with millions of Americans still unemployed and losing their homes, there isn't enough taxpayer money to pay creditors. Local governments, which aren't allowed to operate in the red, must come up with the cash. This means some may be choosing between default or devastation.
In many cases, it'll be fairly simple for cities to cut services before they actually default on their debt.
Cities and states coast to coast seem to be trying this route, and the toll it's taking on the streets of America is undeniable. Camden, New Jersey is the second most dangerous city in the country. You didn't see many cops on the streets to begin with, and now you may rarely see any. The city's had to lay off nearly half of their police force. In Detroit, a city where people have been too broke to bury their dead, the city is too broke to repair dying infrastructure, to fix roads or lights. In the desert state of Arizona, cuts have been a matter of life and death.
Governor Jan Brewer taking a lot of heat over the death of another transplant patient after the state cut funding for the operations.
Here in New York City, huge piles of garbage like this one are all over city streets. The city's behind on picking up trash after getting behind cleaning up after a snowstorm. Now, public officials blame this on any number of reasons, but one accusation that keeps coming up is this is the result of budget cuts.
Cuts have consequences. You can't just sort of cut, and there isn't enough wasteful spending, so to speak, to cut. You actually do have to cut services that people depend on.
Analysts say the slashing will amount to an increase in unemployment and a lowering of wages, dragging more Americans down and the economy with it, while the prospect of bankruptcies threaten the pensions of public workers and may cause a run on municipal bonds.
So that will push the cities and counties over the cliff.
Well, that's not a solution.
Either scenario seems to be causing a widespread decline in the American city, once relegated to ancient history.
It's a feedback towards economic shrinking, downsizing, and deurbanization. Exactly the same thing happened in the Roman Empire, when in the end Rome was left almost a deserted city and all of the production shifted back onto the land. That's what you're faced here, although the land in this case looks like it'll be abroad rather than in the United States.
As investment flees to other countries, threatening to take with it the American dream. Lauren Lister, RT, New York.
That's pretty devastating.
Mm. And,
Oh, President Clinton admits fraudulent drug war is all about money.
That's it. And in what is now being dubbed one of the most incoherent and nonsensical statements to be made by a politician in recent days concerning the drug war, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton recently told Mexican reporters that drugs like marijuana can never be legalized because there is too much money in it.
Displaying, but she must be getting some of it.
Somebody's being it. And displaying a complete lack of understanding concerning basic economics and simple common sense, Clinton foolishly tried to claim that legalization would benefit criminal drug lords, despite the fact that simple supply and demand proves otherwise. This is an interesting one. It's from Natural News.
You can legalize small amounts for possession, but those who are making so much money selling, they have to be stopped, Clinton said. They can't be given an easier road to take because they will find it in their interest to addict even more young people. On the contrary, legalization would actually drive down the drug price, which would in turn be a disincentive to drug lords to continue selling as they currently do, instead of the violence and the corruption that currently takes place in the black market of drug dealing, legal dealers would have little reason to resort to such actions in normal market settings.
And Clinton evidently does not understand that there is so much money to be made by selling illegal drugs precisely because it is illegal, writes Jacob Sullum in an article at Reason.com. And prohibition not only enables traffickers to earn a risk premium that makes drug prices much higher than they would otherwise be, it delivers this highly lucrative business into the hands of criminals who have no legal recourse, resolve disputes by spilling blood. And several pro-legalization groups have also come out against Clinton, calling her statements ignorant and preposterous, noting that if someone like Sarah Palin had said such things, she would have immediately been the laughingstock of the media.
Others say that Clinton's statements were not birthed out of ignorance, but rather are a clear reflection of central government efforts to protect the illegal drug market. A 1998 PBS investigation, for instance, explained how the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency relies on international drug dealing to finance covert operations, which offers insight into the real reason for the war on drugs.
Yeah, and this was this was started up by George Bush Sr.
Herbert Walker Bush, the one they try to sanctify and make into a saint.
FDO exposes an interview with David Graham. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
FDA exposed. Great Director. Okay.
29 U.S. senators vote to maintain Big Pharma monopoly.
For U.S. consumers, Republicans oppose free trade for medicine.
Huh.
FDA accused of suppressing drug safety information commentary. The raw and ugly truth about the war on drugs.
Oh, we should read that.
Yes, it's right in there. The raw and ugly truth about the war on drugs.
Drugs are bad. Drugs destroy people's lives. Didn't you know that marijuana turns regular everyday people into zombie pot smokers? That's why we have a war on drugs in America, to protect our children from potheads. Drugs are bad, especially marijuana. I learned this the other day when I visited an elementary school as a guest speaker. The school children were well trained in describing the dangers of drugs. On command, they would spout out any number of statements describing them. But then a funny thing happened. I started asking how many of them were on drugs. You know, drugs their doctors prescribed, drugs alter brain chemistry to keep them docile or free of pain or to dilate their lungs so they could breathe easier. It turned out that 60% of these school children were either on drugs at that very moment or had been on such drugs within the last 12 months. Two-thirds of the teachers were on drugs, too. And it's not at all stretched to believe that 40% or more of all parents are on drugs, mind-altering drugs like antidepressants, no less.
A nation of drug addicts. Fact is, we are a nation of drug addicts. We drug ourselves, our elderly, and our children on a daily basis. We do it with prescription medications, over-the-counter pills, alcohol, caffeine, nicotine, and we say it's all fine because those drugs are legal. But wait a minute, you say. Those legal drugs are different from marijuana. They're FDA-approved drugs prescribed by a doctor. They have a medical purpose. Oh, really? Well, Ritalin has a medical purpose. What medical symptoms does Ritalin treat then?
What measurable psychological state is addressed with Ritalin? There are none, of course. Ritalin is an authority drug. It keeps children in line. It makes teachers feel less stress and parents feel less guilt. Ritalin is a mind-altering narcotic, and yet millions of children are on it today. Its purpose is not to help children, but to make life more convenient for those who manage children.
You think, say, statin drugs have a medical purpose? Think again.
Think again.
In reality, they only have a profit purpose. These drugs were invented to sell pills that manage disease states in people, not that solve any real health problem. Don't believe me. Just stop taking your statin drugs if you dare, and watch your cholesterol skyrocket. You'll find out you're a slave to the drug and no healthier than before.
What's the difference between legal and illegal drugs? So what's the difference between legal drugs and illegal drugs? Some people think that only legal drugs are habit-forming, illegal drugs are habit-forming. Yet legal drugs can be just as addictive as illegal drugs. Just ask anyone who's tried to quit smoking, go off caffeine, or kick the OxyContin habit. So is there some other difference between illegal drugs and legal drugs? People argue that illegal drugs are safe, that legal drugs are safe. They're FDAC approved. They're FDA approved, and yet they fail to recognize that prescription drugs kill more Americans each year than all the crack, meth, and heroin deaths combined.
Okay, then. What about the argument that illegal drugs have no medicinal purpose and legal drugs do have a medicinal purpose? What about that? Wrong again. Medical marijuana is a medically proven treatment for a variety of conditions, yet marijuana still remains illegal. Even MDMA, now called ecstasy on the street, was long considered an effective experimental drug that helped severely traumatized adult patients overcome past pains through involved clarity. At the same time, tobacco smoke has no medical purpose whatsoever, yet cigarettes remain perfectly legal. No, the real difference between these two classes of drugs is not their medical merit, not their safety. The real difference is something far more sinister. It's just, it gets right down to answering the question of why the DEA agents will raid medical marijuana clinics, stand by doing nothing while Americans smoke themselves to death on tobacco. Want to know the real answer?
Yeah. I very much doubt you do, because like most Americans, you won't believe it. You've been blinded to the obvious truth for your whole life, manipulated by the media, and brainwashed by advertising that has turned you into a statistically validated consumer. You think, no, this couldn't possibly be true. The world isn't that unjust. You think, but you're wrong. Take the free gullibility factor test to find out if you're really a mind slave or not. Here's the raw, blind truth about the war on drugs. Drugs that are declared legal or illegal based primarily on who benefits from their manufacture, distribution, and sale. Look at the gullibility test.
Let's take the gullibility test.
Not too bad.
All right, we'll answer. Okay, in a simple anonymous test, you can assess your own. This is available on naturalnews.com. In this simple anonymous test, you can assess your own gullibility factor score and simply answer true or false to the following questions. Click submit, and the score will be instantly calculated, displayed along with the explanation and the correct answers. Your GF score will tell you whether you're a free-thinking individual or a total mind slave. Please answer all questions or your score will be artificially low. This test was authorized by Mike Adams, Health Ranger, primary author of Natural News. This test is offered for entertainment purposes only. Okay.
Okay.
Drinking milk helps people lose weight. False. What do you think?
True.
You think it's true?
Because it's vitamin D. It has to be healthy milk. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, okay. You know what? We'll do this another way. Lila thinks it's true. I think it's false. So we're going to put Lila's score in there and my score in there. Okay? We'll do one each. All right?
Yep.
And see who gets the higher score. Yeah. Okay.
So we disagree on that one.
Okay, this one's... Okay, Lila. All right? I'm writing the ones down. All right, so you think this one is true?
True, yeah. You said false. The way you see yours.
All right. Silver fillings are safe to put in your teeth. Otherwise, dentists wouldn't use them.
False.
I say false, too. Right. Okay, you say false.
Cattle in the U.S. beef industry are routinely fed chicken poop, animal blood, expired household pets, and other undesirable food sources.
True.
That's true. Yeah, it's horrible to think that. I can hardly believe it.
And let's see. People who watch television are not persuaded by television advertising.
False.
Okay.
Food manufacturers offer coupons because they want to help people save money. False. They want them to buy their food.
I agree with you.
Okay. The history taught to American children in public school is true and accurate. False.
Okay. I agree with you there, too.
Many common grocery products, including yogurt, fruit juice, and candy, are colored with an ingredient called carmine that is actually made from insects, dead, ground-up husks of female cochineal beetles. That's true.
That is true.
I saw that, too. That made me sick. My government would never knowingly lie to me.
False. That's false.
Pharmaceuticals cost so much because drug companies need more money to invest in finding cures for disease. False, because it's because they want to pay the executives.
And they want to make money.
The Federal Reserve is a branch of the U.S. government. False.
False.
But one time I thought it was. Banks offer to finance home loans because they want to help people own their own homes. False.
They finance home loans because they want to help people own their own homes.
No, they want to make money.
Yeah, of course.
Who cares whether you own your home or not?
We are cynics. Right?
The fluoride added to drinking water is sourced from naturally occurring fluoride. No,
that's
fluoride.
Wrong.
No, I know that's not true.
That's from nuclear waste.
Yeah. Surgical procedures must be proven safe and effective before being practiced on patients.
False.
Yeah.
Private
gambling and internet gambling has been outlawed because the government wants to protect people from evils associated with this activity. False.
False.
They want
wait a minute. What is it?
Private gambling
and internet gambling have been outlawed because the government wants to protect people from the evils associated with this activity.
No, they want the money from the...
because they can't tax it.
Yeah. Inflation is a natural side effect of a healthy, growing economy. I think inflation is manipulated.
Yeah, it's a natural side of a healthy, growing economy. That's false.
Yeah.
It's false. It's manipulated.
It's false. Prescription drugs approved as safe by the FDA are safe to consume on a long-term basis. I don't know that. I don't believe it.
Prescription drugs approved by the FDA are safe to consume on a long-term basis.
Remember all those drugs that made...
Right, they approved aspartame, which gives you 80% of all the...
The U.S. is the most technologically advanced nation in the world. That's not true. Our population isn't.
What does it say? The U.S. is the most technically advanced nation in the world.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think so either. Not anymore. I think Japan might be or one of the European countries.
Processed and packaged meat products, hot dogs, bacon, sausage, are preserved with an ingredient that both the food industry and the USDA absolutely knows causes cancer. Yeah, nitrates. True. Buying a home is one of the best financial investments you can make, and home prices will always continue to rise.
False.
We thought that was true at one time. Medical schools, where is that? Give doctors a solid education in nutrition. No, they don't. Disease prevention and healthy lifestyle habits. No, false.
All right, where are we? The United States of America is a democracy. False. Okay.
No, right here. The mainstream news outlets in America actually report war events in Iraq. False.
Oh, yeah, false.
The United States of America isn't democracy. False.
It's a republic.
It's not even that anymore. Anything that hasn't been scientifically proven isn't true.
False.
No, I don't believe that. False. Vitamin E is dangerous. Well.
False.
Yeah, it can be if it's not.
Well, it depends on it's not.
That's kind of funny. Too much of it is.
It's kind of vague, yeah.
When you deposit money in a savings account at a bank, the bank holds your money for you until you ask for it back.
False. False.
What?
That's false.
Because it's not really your money in there?
Well, they don't really keep that much money. When you deposit money in a savings account at a bank, that bank holds your money for you until you ask for it. That's false. They use it, right. Yeah.
All the clean hydrogen we need to power the world is already contained in crystals at the bottom of the ocean called gas hydrates. I think that's true.
That may be true, yeah.
In 1945, the U.S. dropped 2 atomic bombs at a civilian population in Japan in order to force Japanese surrender and save millions of people. false. They wanted to experiment.
No, they
didn't want to save millions of people.
Yeah, they wanted to save.
And they were experimenting with that bomb, Leo.
Yeah. Well,
having a baby is
a patent violation
because the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office routinely grants patents on human gene sequences found in all humans.
But having a baby is a patent violation because the U.S. Patent and Trade Office routinely grants patents on human genes found in all humans. That's true. I read that article.
Okay.
People should avoid all exposure to the sun or use sunscreen in order to protect their health.
False.
Yeah.
There is no cure for cancer. False. All foods and beverages are safe to consume in moderation and can be part of a balanced diet.
False.
No, they're not all.
All foods are not safe?
No. Like, Diet Coke isn't safe.
Oh, anything like that. Yeah.
Most common diseases, cancer, heart disease, and diabetes are caused by bad genes and bad luck. False. It's caused by diet. Attention, ADHD is a genuine brain chemistry disorder that might be treated with drugs. False. Let's calculate the score.
Okay. Free thinker.
Welcome to the top 5%. You are a true free thinker and a person who is well informed about the reality in which you live. Although you may have been easily manipulated in earlier life, you actually gained lucidity and developed a healthy sense of skepticism that you now automatically apply to your observations and experiences. You are endlessly curious about human behavior and the nature of the universe.
If you were in the Matrix, you would have taken the red pill, complete combat training, and started fighting and beating agents from day one. You're architects. You have cast off reality distortion taught to you by your parents, schools, corporate advertising, and government propaganda. You create your own belief based on what serves you best without much regard for what the rest of the crowd is doing. And you are guided by your own internal code of ethics, which may or may not agree with politically correct ethical codes. But rather than any preset system of ethics, such as from any one religion. That's what we are.
Yeah. I got one less right than you, because I thought that first one. Oh, drinking milk.
Oh, you got the first one right.
No, I got that wrong.
I thought you did.
Drinking milk helps people lose weight. The milk weight loss myth is a clever marketing gimmick dreamed up by the dairy industry to sell more milk. By exploiting the desperate desires of Americans to lose weight, not only does milk not cause weight loss, it contains pus, rocket fuel chemicals. Oh, God. Yeah, it actually promotes heart disease, asthma, constipation, and various allergic reactions.
I told you it was bad.
Mm.
And silver fillings,
we know those a bit.
Right. So that's false. Cattle, beef are fed with all kinds of crap. That's true. People who watch television are not persuaded. That's false. Food manufacturers offer coupons to help people save money. That's false. And food companies often coupons because they want to sell more of their products, and they know consumers incorrectly believe that using coupons saves them money. In reality, nearly all coupons promoted food are priced at very high markups to begin with. Unprocessed foods, vegetables, fruits, grains, legumes, almost never have coupons, yet they represent the best value in food for your dollar. And people who use coupons are getting ripped off even as they think they're getting a bargain. That's true, because 9 out of 10 of those coupons are for kids' stuff, like,
stuff we don't eat.
Stuff, you know, for kid foods. Fast foods and highly sugar-rated foods, but nothing healthy. Food manufacturers offer coupons. The history taught to American children in public schools is true and accurate, false. Many Americans...
How about the war we just went into?
Yeah. From Columbus to Vietnam, politically correct American history constantly paints Americans in a glorious light while ignoring shocking accounts of actual historical events. Read a People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn. Yeah. We only get 10 minutes, and I think people get the point. Everything we said was accurate, so we are...
Well-informed.
Well-informed. The free thinkers. Which, you know, it doesn't surprise us. Let's see if there's one. We got 10 minutes. There's one more thing I want to tell. U.S. backing, this is interesting.
Let's play that one.
Yeah.
Protesters in Egypt are still refusing to back down until President Mubarak quits. Thousands are in Cairo's Tahrir Square, but their lines are being pushed back by the army to get traffic moving. Banks and some businesses are opening, but schools remain closed and the curfew is still in force. The government has announced concessions and a pay rise for 6 million public sector workers. Meanwhile, the country's vice president is being courted by the U.S. to replace Mubarak, but Washington is considered to be a questionable mediator.
It's important to support the transition process announced by the Egyptian government, actually headed by now Vice President Omar Suleiman.
Hardly the words of a neutral broker, and worse, far removed from the people her administration claims to be listening to. Dr. Magdi Bilal heads up a human rights organization that teaches Egyptians about democracy. He says Egyptians don't like Suleiman for the very reason Americans do.
Omar Suleiman is part of this regime. We consider American people, American president, they want to keep the regime. They say, let Mubarak go, but the regime still in the power, in the authority.
Touted last year by the UK's Telegraph as the most powerful spook in the region, Suleiman is suave, sophisticated, and fluent in English. But the former head of Egypt's intelligence service worked for years as the CIA's man in Cairo.
The U.S. CIA coordinated with in their so-called extraordinary rendition program. This is where they would kidnap suspected terrorists around the world and send them to countries in the Middle East, Egypt primary among them.
Suleiman is accused of having been personally involved in torturing suspects.
This is the problem now in Egypt, is there's a struggle between, not between Mubarak and the people, but between the American CIA, the covert apparatus of U.S. power around the world, and the people are having to try to get Mubarak replaced with somebody else.
It's hard to ignore the fact that the very abuses that drove hundreds of thousands of people into the streets had some assistance from the United States. People have collected almost with pride these empty tear gas cylinders that have the words "Made in the USA" written on them. And so much for regime change. Suleiman was as much made in America as the dictator who appointed him and who is now being thrown out by the Egyptian people. WikiLeaks cables show the U.S. administration was grooming him for years. As far back as 2007, it had already identified him as the possible successor to President Mubarak.
Many of our contacts believe that Suleiman, because of his military background, would at the least have to figure in any succession scenario.
And so, when Obama goes on record and says Egyptians must choose for themselves,
it is not the role of any other country to determine Egypt's leaders. Only the Egyptian people can do that.
People here laugh because his Secretary of State is admitting to something different.
What we have to do is to send a consistent message supporting the orderly transition that has begun, urging that it be not only transparent and sincere, but very concrete.
But many Egyptians are afraid of Suleiman and think he's more a dictator than Mr. Mubarak, which leaves the United States out in the cold when it has to explain why it's backing him. Paula Sphere, RT, Cairo.
That's the truth. That's the honest truth. You know? Don't you think so?
No.
I don't know. Very real.
You know, if they don't get Suleiman, they'll get someone else that we've chosen.
Yep.
There's always a third or fourth backup. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But,
it won't be...
Exactly, they're trying to push him on us, though. That's what makes it sick.
Push him on the Egyptian
people.
Very sad.
Okay. One more for the road. epic fail, global warming solutions. California is the model for all other states in the UN Agenda 21, the overarching blueprint for depopulation and total control. California passed sweeping laws, the AB 32 Global Warming Solution Act and companion bill SB 375, that claim the need for sustainability to reduce greenhouse gases and carbon, otherwise known as phony global warming. California's AB 32 law makes California the first state to commit to the Kyoto Treaty, a United States or a United Nations program. This is from Activist Post.
The corrupt chief of the UN International Panel on Climate Change, Riandra Pachuri, said the electricity should be monitored and that hefty taxes should be used to keep people from flying, as he prefers trains for the masses. Comments leave no doubt that the UN goals are designed to total control and lack of mobility, as mobility is a source and reflection of freedom. Private property, the primary factor that increases economic and individual freedom, is under attack through new restrictive land use regulations. Specifically, these new restrictive land use laws, planning, zoning, and building codes, target energy and transportation. If people are concentrated into cities, they are more easily controlled and become less self-reliant. The design for this known as smart growth.
This article is a snapshot of some of the measures, many of which are already in place, and it's not a full analysis of the programs or the abysmal effect on business that will suffer under these draconian laws. It is important to remember that these changes are based in the discredited science of global warming. Homes. New urban development housing will be built near rail lines with the state intention of removing people from their cars.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mixed-use buildings, stores and restaurants on the bottom, with smart growth cage living spaces above, are the model for new developments.
Green building permits, a whole new level of bureaucracy and fees are planned. Retrofitting. Many residential and commercial buildings are targeted for green retrofits. Zero net energy buildings, eliminating of fossil fuel heating and air conditioning will be part of the new building code requirements.
Electricity and natural gas will be monitored with smart meters that have a remote off switch. Many California homes have already been outfitted with smart meters, and bills have doubled in some cases. People have reported that the EMF radiation is making them sick. Smart meters can be stopped by local governments before installation. A class action suit against utility suppliers' smart meters could go a long way towards stopping the program.
Smart appliances, new appliances, are designed to be remotely controlled by your cell phone and your utility supplier, who can cut your
appliances
off. Global warming potential. Mitigation fees for potential global warming gas emissions may be leveled. Absurdity. Report cites a fee for potential carbon leaky refrigerators, which would apply whether your refrigerator leaks or not. Mitigation fees for ridiculous potential made by threats are limited only by bureaucrats' imaginations.
Well, that whole thing goes on.
And it goes on to the different things, but it involves every aspect of their lives.
Reading this article.
Yeah, every single aspect of their lives.
Why don't you tell people what the article is?
Activist Post, which is a great site. So.
Epic, and it's called Epic Fail, Global Warming Solution.
Right. So.
And we've come right to
the end
of our show.
So I want to thank everybody for joining us. We hope you, you enjoyed it, got something out of it, and you did. And on live now remaining, we have ended.
so good night, folks, and we'll talk to you later on in the week.
And I'll be on tomorrow with Maria Fix Algeria as our special guest. We'll be discussing the Keys of Enoch and the Book of Enoch. And
I'll be back on Tuesday with Leo.
That's right.
Our regular 2-hour show.
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yep.
So,
good night, folks.
So good night, everybody, and please join me tomorrow night with my special guest, Maria Fix-Algeri.
Good night.